Welcome to Catholic Messenger Conversations. Today, our guest is Bishop Thomas Zinkula, and he's going to talk with us about COVID-19 and how we're going to approach the reopening of churches in the future. Does that sound like a good...
That's a timely topic, Barb. That's okay. Where it's at.
Well, I'm just going to go right in and dive into my questions then. So, I'm wondering, you announced April 28th that restrictions regarding a return to our church buildings in our diocese will continue. What factors went into your decision making on that?
Well, the reason it was on April 28th was because the Governor Reynolds had kind of threw this ball into the court of religious institutions to make the decisions on that, you know, while respecting social distancing and all those kinds of things. So, I mean, as far as I was concerned, we're looking at the same things we always look at. Just because she said we could, if we want to, open up our churches and resume the celebration of public Mass, we could, but we're still looking at the same things. And where are we at? Where is this trending? And it still was rising then, and it's still rising now in terms of the number of new cases, deaths, each day, hospitalizations, and capability for testing. So we looked at those things, and nothing's changed with that. So we just stayed the course, and we're still just paying attention to all those things.
And that really hasn't even changed since then, did that? And this is what, May? We're in
May 7th or whatever. Yeah. No, it's still hasn't leveled off yet in Iowa.
Right. It looks like the deaths are going up, in fact.
Yeah, it depends on the day, but in general they have been, right?
And so I'm wondering, you know, why did you and your brother bishops decide to maintain suspension of public celebration of the Mass in all four dioceses, even though the governor restricted or relax the restrictions in 77 counties?
Well, because people travel and people don't make always sensible decisions. And the governor said, somebody asked her a question about this sort of thing, and she said, they'll do the reasonable thing. And I don't always do the reasonable thing. So if there's, in one county or one diocese, they resume public Mass, you know, people from neighboring counties or maybe even further than that will come. And that's what we don't want, is people to be traveling and spreading
exactly.
This virus. So it helps for the bishops to be together on it. You know, so there's this unity. I mean, we're one holy Catholic apostolic church. So it just makes it a lot easier. And it's not like, oh yeah, but in this diocese, you know, or whatever. But so that's kind of how that developed.
Do you wish the governor would have kind of given you guys a heads up about this?
Yeah, I mean, we were scrambling, of course. The fact that she put in our court, some religious leaders were upset about that. I mean, that's fine, religious liberty.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have had to have done that because we're in general okay where she's at with things, but. Yeah, it would have. Yeah, we were scrambling. It would have been nice to have known a little bit further in advance. But
yeah.
It got worked out.
Okay. Eventually, you plan to relax restrictions in the Diocese of Davenport. Will you begin that process in tandem with the other bishops in Iowa, or separately?
Well, right now, each of us has a representative, the point person on the COVID-19 pandemic, and so they're meeting every week. And so they met maybe yesterday or the day before, just kind of, where are you guys at with things ever? So, I don't know. I mean, hopefully for the big decisions, we'll be on the same page. We'll see how it goes. Because we do look at things slightly differently. You know, we're all individual people. But for sure, some of the protocols, kind of, you get down into the weeds and specifics, I'm sure that'll be, a lot of it will be the same, but there'll be some differences in each of the dioceses. But hopefully we can, in general, stay together on it. It helps.
It probably helps, too, doesn't it? Because it seems like Catholics are all over the board on how we should approach this issue, aren't they?
They are all over the board. I get, like, hate mail and love mail. So it just depends on what their perspective is. And, you know, But
how do you deal with that? Do you just go out for a bike ride or something after you get some of those emails?
Yeah,
or what?
Well, it's like, you know, I mean, my thing about it, I'm fine hearing people's if they differ, and
right.
that's fine. I need to hear that, but as long as it's respectful, you know,
right.
that's the thing that needs to be the case. That's just Catholic Christian teaching, you
right.
know, the scripture. So, you know, when there's an edge, okay, you know, but there's a hard edge. It's like, oh man, this is not who we are.
Because people are pretty passionate. I've gotten some passionate responses to
right,
an editorial.
Yeah. The thing about it is, you know, I know sometimes people speak out of emotion, but that they don't have all the information.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they just kind of run with something. And, well, actually, there's a lot more to think about, you know,
yeah.
this or that, whatever the topic is.
And so what precautions will remain in place as the restrictions are relaxed? I suppose it changes as it's probably kind of fluid, is it? Or
you mean when we open the churches and resume public
yeah.
mass? Yeah, well, for sure, social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like to use the term physical distancing.
Right.
And for sure, that's going to be a long time. And that's a huge deal. It really affects everything,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's that, and there's going to be, you know, have to be really careful with communion. That's a vulnerable time, two people close together,
right.
and just to.
So are you going to all be 6 feet apart as we're receiving communion then,
right,
or what?
Yeah, sure.
Like, will there be someone like ushers in
yeah,
place
don't need
to handle
be.
That?
There is so much to think about, Barb, with all this. When you start oh. getting into it, and you think you have it all figured out, and then it's like, oh, what about this? What about that? People need to be trained. I mean, even. If we said, let's start Mass this weekend, you know, we wouldn't be ready for it. Parishes,
right.
they need to have PPE in terms of at least masks, probably, if for people that don't bring them and want them and need them. And, you know, cleaning products to clean and disinfect the surfaces.
So people will be wearing masks during Mass.
We're
right?
at this point, we're gonna, I think where we're at is, it's, yeah. It's okay. just, why wouldn't we? You know,
right.
if that can help protect people, it's not that difficult. And if people don't have them, that means parishes would have to have them. You know,
right.
I mean, it could just be obviously a cloth covering. It doesn't have to be anything fancy or expensive.
Right.
But that's kind of where we're at this point.
Okay. Now, you recently met via video conference with your priest to talk about gradual reopening of the church buildings to the public. What suggestions or insights did they share that you can incorporate into your outline for this plan to return to Mass?
Well, it was helpful. I mean, part of the reason for that was meeting as the pastors
mm-hmm.
was to get them ready for this
mm-hmm.
thing. You know, that what it's going to look like, because they
mm-hmm.
don't haven't probably most of them haven't thought about as much as we have. You know,
yeah.
just constantly thinking about it and you know, and researching things and seeing what other people are doing. And so just to kind of, okay, this is a big deal and
mm-hmm.
we need to be ready for this. And here's some things you need to be thinking about, you know, like for instance, with social distancing, do you know how few people that's going to, you know, you know, how it's going to affect the number of people in your particular church, depending on the size. Even a
yeah.
large church, 6 feet, I mean, you know, that's not a lot of people, really.
Yeah.
And so how do you determine who those people are going to be?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so we'll be encouraging people over 65 and people with underlying health conditions to just stay away. It's just continue to watch on your computer or television, whatever. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the safest thing. So say that, and that's a lot of our parishioners are older people.
Yeah.
You know, because they're the ones who come to church more regularly.
What about people who have people in their families who are like, say, 60 and then 70? You know what I mean? So will those 70-year-olds have to stay away and the 60-year-olds can go?
Well, I mean, people have to make those decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, we're probably not going to be like policemen and show us your, you know. But so, yeah, so in terms of, yeah, those people can sit, households can sit close together. So that
right.
might be able to get a few more people in there.
Yeah.
But then 6 feet. So anyway, so part of, one of the reasons I wanted to meet with them was just to get them thinking about a
uh-huh.
lot of things.
Right.
And get ready for this thing before it's like, oh, by the way, you know, this weekend we're going to open things up. And the other thing was to hear their their thoughts and get their feedback, because they're right there, and I'm not a parish priest anymore, so I'm not, you know, I'm not there on the front lines to kind of experience things and think about things in that, from that perspective. So they have some good thoughts, like, you know, we were thinking about sort of these different phases, and they were saying, well, maybe there's one extra phase, like we're okay, we right now it's churches are closed, so we open churches up for private prayer, a smaller step, you know, but then when we resume celebrating the Mass publicly, then all right, so we were thinking, okay, there's, with social distancing, as many people you can put in there, as long as there's social distancing, so we were thinking about having a step between nothing and that, you know, like half of that, like 50% of with social distancing, but because it seemed, because the reason was that was for that was, okay, you know, let's see how this goes and give it 14 days and see if things are still trending the right way, and if they're not, we need to go back a step. So rather than going all the way back to zero,
yeah,
if we have a step in the middle, you know, you could go back in terms of just the numbers.
Right.
So, so that was one reason, and then another reason was to give people in the parishes an opportunity to kind of get a feel for the new rhythm, practice that without as many people. So, but with the pastors, they're like, you know, a couple of them had actually thought through how many their church would fit, and well, that's not that many people. So half of that is even less. So yeah. It's like, well, maybe that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's an extra step. It made sense to have that, we thought, but maybe it doesn't play itself out very well. So that helped. And then, you know, to hear from them. And then also I kind of had a sense of this, but they really clarified it that 100% with social distancing isn't that many people, really.
Right.
It's like, well, that gets you thinking about, okay, how are we going to determine who those people are? So there's maybe something online, you know, where they register. And you, to be fair, maybe certain A to whatever.
Right.
Because otherwise, if it's just first come, first serve, that doesn't seem as fair. Or who knows? I mean, we're not going to legislate down to that level. They're going to, but they need to be thinking about.
And it could be different for each parish, couldn't it?
It
depends on the.
Right.
How their family, you know, I think it's going to seem strange though, no matter what you do. I mean, when you're Catholics going into a Mass for the first time after being away for 2 months and like you've got all this physical distancing, and I mean, it's just going to seem so
it's
going
to be very messy until we develop a rhythm.
Yeah.
But even then, I mean, you know, it's, people are going to be afraid, and they're the social distancing, and we're going to need to move things along, because the longer people are together, the more risk there is.
Yeah.
So, you know, and singing, you know, probably we're going to be saying, let's not sing for a while, because singing is like coughing.
But you could put tape music in, couldn't you?
No, yeah, maybe instrumental music.
Yeah.
And plus, if you're singing, it's going to be longer. And so here's the thing, I don't promote the Mass being as short as possible,
right,
and everything. But in this so it's like all these liturgical things that kind of go out the window, you know, with regard to, well, don't receive from the cup, and don't sing, and whatever. Oh my God! But we do need to be cautious about the time.
I do remember when I was in high school, we'd look for the Mass that had the shortest.
Yeah, well, you're a normal kid.
But I've grown to appreciate it, so I want the full, you know, the music, the great liturgy, everybody's. I mean, I think it's going to be so pent up that when people go, it's going to be tough just to get used to that.
Yeah, it will, but hopefully it'll also be they've been longing for the Eucharist, that there's also, we're able to receive the Eucharist again.
Yes, so. that would be the key, I think. You know, if a vaccine is still 12 to 18 months away, how will that affect the celebration of the sacraments, you know, ordination, matrimony, confirmation, baptisms, you know, I mean,
social distancing.
Yeah.
So no, it's going to be, it is very different right now. It's like in our, you know, here in Scott County and, you know, a number, our higher population areas where it's the 22 county thing,
right,
more restrictive. It's 10 people. I had there's a priest funeral, Saturday, Father Parlett.
Yeah.
At St. Alphonsus, 10 people, no Eucharist. And then Father Monsignor Schmidt died Monday. And so his will be, well, it was St. Anthony's, but they're going to have it at the funeral home so they can live stream it there. 10 people. It's just really sad. So, yeah, weddings, you know, it's brides and grooms, they don't know what to do. And ordinations, scheduled for June 6th. And so, right now it's 10 people. We can't make exceptions for priests, you know, kind of a thing for clergy. But, you know, maybe, possibly, there'll be, you know, we'll have things opened up and be social distancing by then. But I wouldn't bet a lot of money on it. Yeah. So, yeah. So all that, it's really hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, so how will you, at an ordination, how will you decide, will it be a, you know, a couple of priests then? I mean, usually that's the whole,
The
whole right brotherhood now, of the priests, I guess, but.
Yeah, I know, I know. Right now we're going to, there's a, James Flattery to be ordained a priest, and it's going to be at Colfax, probably, on June 6th, later in the afternoon, and Andrew and be ordained a transitional deacon in Muscatine in the morning. So it'll be, they've thought about who will be there. 10 isn't a lot of people, and I'm counted as one of them. And
and you'll have to make sure to count one of us to cover
it. Well, yeah, we'll see.
Or we could be the auxiliary standing 20 feet away.
Yeah, it's really hard for those guys. They're real troopers, though. They understand. And I know they can live stream it at Colfax. Hopefully they'll be able to do that at Muscatine, too, so other people can participate. But the thing is, if you put people, like some of the few of the priests are, you know, that are have new assignments or retiring, and can we just put that off for a while? Because they won't be able to have their closure and goodbyes well. But how long do you put it off?
Right.
Because we're going to be doing this social distancing for a long, long time. So it's just, we just have to keep on. We can't, as hard as it is, life goes on.
Right.
And it's not a perfect world. And, you know, so.
And we're learning a lot of things along the way, aren't we? I mean, we're learning how to be church all over again, maybe.
Yeah, that's the hope, that we can invite the Holy Spirit into this and help us to see things more clearly and to learn some things, and we can be better, stronger.
You know, it's kind of ironic. You know, we've got this initiative, Vision 2020, and so you always automatically think of, you know, having clear vision.
Yeah,
right. And I'm thinking this is the year of absolutely no clear vision, not for Vision 2020 necessarily, but that whole idea of 2020 is perfect vision, and certainly what an irony that this year we're so far from perfect vision.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but we can look through the lens of our faith, hope, and love, and we can see things more clearly, you know, discern some things. And yeah, it's always going to be limited. It's always going to be cloudy. And so here's a particular cloud, you know, that's kind of affects our vision. But we can see through it, you know, with the Lord's help.
That's awesome. I guess, how will relaxation of the restrictions address the elderly considered to be the most at risk of contracting the coronavirus? And they're the people who want the most to be at Mass.
I know. They're the ones who shouldn't be at Mass. I know that's true, and some of them probably will go, but we'll encourage them very strongly to not. And not only for their own sake, but for the other people around them. And, you know, and spreading this thing. And it's not just about me. It's about the common good. We really need to think about others. What's the best thing for somebody else, not for me? Mm-hmm. And so there'll still be the dispensation that'll be indefinite, you know, in terms of the obligation. And we'll be encouraging pastors and parish priests to live stream and record masses and all that. I mean, one thing people don't think about, that I've been thinking about a lot about lately, is terms of, so elderly people, stay away. A lot of our priests are in that category.
Right.
Over 65, underlying health issues, a lot of them. So it's one thing for somebody, a parishioner to come on Sunday, one mass, they're taking a bit of a risk, you know, if they're in that category. But what about an elderly priest who's, it's not just one Mass on the weekend, but however yeah. many he has, and then every weekday. What about those guys? And that it becomes cumulative. The more you're, because that if the virus is in the air,
right?
You know, I mean, you're taking more. The more you're in some confined.
Well, aren't they at risk to celebrate the Mass then?
Of course, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that they're at risk. Just being there, whether they're right. celebrating the presiding or they're in the pews, whatever, and they're going to be there, you know, a lot. If once we start celebrating public Mass, so I think we need to think about that. Like, they probably shouldn't be distributing communion because you know, oh, you're yeah. right close to somebody. Somebody else can do that, but then once you do that, you bring somebody else into the sanctuary to give them, you know, the ciboria or whatever. You know, there's contact there,
wow.
and maybe they shouldn't. You know, process sin, just come out of if the sacristy is near
oh,
the
wow.
sanctuary, or maybe they shouldn't, as much as they want to greet everybody and welcome, it's good to see you, maybe they shouldn't be at the doors of the church before right. or after Mass, as hard as that might be for everybody, because, I mean, there's one diocese right. that, and every priest over 65 or, you know, or who has underlying health issues and or, they have to get permission to preside at Mass.
Wow.
So.
I mean, because what percentage of the priests in our diocese are over 65?
I mean, the average is what? I mean, in the 60s,
isn't it?
Somewhere low 60s.
Wow.
So a lot.
We would not be having Mass otherwise.
Well,
right?
I know. So we need to think about that. I've asked Deacon Frank. He's our point person. We need to think about that and have. You know, I'm not sure we could go to one extreme or the other,
right.
but if we're going to be in the middle somewhere, what are some protocols that we can put in place that can protect them as much as possible? Because we're talking about not just one Mass one day,
right.
but you know, week after week, month after month before, you know, we have a treatment, you know,
right.
and
yeah.
or herd immunity or, you know, which is all those are, you know, that's better, but not perfect.
Right.
Or the perfect is a vaccine. Until,
right.
And they're saying, you know, 12 to 18 months. So we're talking a long time. I mean,
right.
Who knows how this is going to play itself out? Hopefully I'm wrong on the timing of this, that maybe,
right.
you know, that it's not as long as what it seems like it'll be, but.
It's better to overestimate than to underestimate, because then you disappoint people, don't you? I mean, if you. Well, what about you? I think you've given some thought, haven't you, to maybe weekday Masses where people could go to weekday Masses to fulfill their Sunday obligation? Or?
Right. Yeah, we've thought about that. I mean, there's no obligation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
It's dispensed. So,
right.
But if people want to go to Mass,
right.
We've thought about that, and one of the priests asked, can we use the readings for Sunday, you know, on Monday and Friday and whatever, and the prayers. I know we're looking at that liturgically, if that's appropriate.
Right.
I mean, probably, you know, outdoor Masses, there's a lot of hassles and a lot of negatives with that.
Mm-hmm.
You could think about the weather and just setting up and everything else, the sound, but, you know, normally we'd say no, you know, but under these circumstances, probably will, if that works for somebody,
yeah,
that's fine, you know. But with the rules in place, social distancing,
right.
the whole deal, or, you know, overflow into halls, you know, if not that many people can fit in the church, if you've got
right.
sound piped into some, you know, social hall or something,
right?
Probably right now we're thinking that, okay, fine, but you got to be careful with all
right.
that. People coming that, and when they exit, it's, you know, probably there'll be somebody at the pews kind of releasing people so they can be orderly and social distance, and then you have to clean in between all the Masses.
Oh man, yeah.
Clean and sanitize everything.
You know,
think about that.
Well, think about, you know, people used to get mad about people leaving right after communion, but now you're probably going to encourage
right.
that. Not necessarily,
yeah,
but
no,
but
yeah,
that would still not be a good thing. So will parishes be required to keep personal protective equipment in stock? And
where people should have had that anyway, you know, just because we've had this plan out there around for years, but probably most of them haven't. But now it's harder to get it. But yeah, no, they need to have those things, and we have a big supply of sanitizer.
Right.
Thanks to a gift to us.
Nice.
So we've said to parishes, reached out to them, if you need some, we've got some, and we'll share the love, whatever.
That's really thoughtful. How will your own travels around the diocese be shaped by the relaxation of the restrictions?
I haven't thought about it that much. Like right now, I'm not going anywhere, you know, so like everybody. I don't know, just have to see how it plays itself out. It's confirmations and first communions. We're kind of going to say, you probably can't do the class thing because it's too big, unless it's a really small class. Probably need to spread that out.
Uh-huh.
Just a couple kids or whatever size church you have, or how many people are going to be coming each Sunday or whatever. So, and then, I'll give the pastors, parish priests, faculty to celebrate, to confirm. So that, so I wouldn't be going out and doing those things. I mean, it's probably not going to be a whole lot going on out there, especially for a while. Everything's been, it just gets canceled, like at least for the summer. I keep getting these email messages and things, and, oh, we canceled this, we canceled that. So I don't know what that'll look like. Be honest, I don't imagine it. I'm going to be running around a lot, because the virus is still out there, and I have no need to be spreading it. Like if I would get it, and then there's no symptoms for a while, a couple of days, whatever that is, and I have no need to be spreading around the diocese.
It'll be interesting when all of this finally is, resolved or whatever, and you'll have all these confirmations, all these.
No, I won't, because the pastors will be doing
that. Okay, that's right. Okay.
So yeah. I wish that would be the case, but it's just, first of all, I couldn't do them all.
Yeah.
And secondly, you can't gather a big class together with social distancing.
That will be for a long time, right? You're thinking.
The rest of this season of confirmation, they start up. We haven't even put the thing out, the sign thing asking for dates and all that out there. We normally would have, but we don't. We're not sure where it's going to be at.
Yeah.
So usually, but they start up in maybe middle of this fall. There'd just be, a few, kind of. But right now, there's nothing scheduled.
So how will technology continue to be incorporated in our diocese as the restrictions are relaxed?
Well, this is not just here in our diocese or just in the church, but everybody, of course, is learning how to do Zoom meetings and GoToMeeting, all those things, and they're getting more and more comfortable with it. We should have been there before. But it takes a push, and this is a push. So and there's pros and cons, of course, with that, but. It is pretty easy, and you don't have to travel, and especially you can see each other. It can be pretty effective and read body language, in terms of that. So I think it's here to stay for sure.
Well, I'm thinking you could even do like a video message to the kids who are getting confirmed.
Yeah.
Couldn't you, or something like that?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I'm going to, after this podcast, videotape a message, to the folks about just kind of what we're talking about here. And I think we're going to ask, they can just play that. But I think there'll be a Pentecost vigil mass. That's where we're going to.
Okay.
And so I can talk about our evangelization effort, Vision 2020, and this pandemic, and it's the end of Easter, and it's a good time to connect with the faithful. So I'm trying not to interfere with the live streaming that pastors are doing.
Right.
They should first go to their parish if they're doing that,
and
celebrate, even though it's virtual. But so the vigil, usually people do that, priests do that on Sundays. So I'll do my thing, but then rather than the whole homily, it won't be hopefully that too long, but people's they're not looking for short attention spans these days. So, so maybe a couple minutes, a summary of that. I'll tape that ahead of time.
Right.
Get that to the pastors, and then they can play that at some point.
That's a great idea.
During their mass, their own mass. Yeah, that's what we're thinking. So I never would have thought about that, outside
that's
of
that's a great
this
idea.
Whole context.
That's a great idea. Well, I just have one last question then. What can we, the people in the pews, well, we're not in the pews right now, but what can we do to help you in this gradual approach to returning to the public celebration of the Mass?
So people in virtual pews.
I mean, that's right.
Whatever. And yeah, some of them are. There's people, they tape pictures of.
That's right.
Yeah, so in the pews. So anyway, keep praying, of course. That's the first thing. Praying for people having a hard time with this. And the isolation is starting to get to people somewhat. And so people who are struggling financially and people are struggling with health issues, whether it's COVID or something else, and they can't get to the doctor or whatever, and just to be praying for each other.
Right.
And that's huge. And otherwise, just stay together. You know, like I was, people have different opinions, and that's fine. But let's stay unified at the core. That's a big thing, and not go off in these different tangents. And even if you have a good point with regard to something and your position, whatever. But everybody's trying to make the best decision.
Right.
And I'm not going to say I make everything. All my calls on are great. Right. All my decisions are. I'm fallible. I'm trying to do the best I can, but. Let's just support each other. Especially at hard times, it can lead to, it can go in a different direction, when there's stress and whatever.
Right.
So, but if we bring our faith into it and we pray through things, hopefully it brings out the best in us. Because that does for some people. Some people, you see them rise to the occasion.
Right.
How wonderful that is. So if we can do that rather than the negative stuff,
that
surface.
That sounds great. So, I really appreciate your joining us for Catholic Conversations with the Catholic Messenger. Hope you'll come back, because we're going to need to talk about this issue for a little while longer, I think.
Probably. My pleasure. It's been good
Visiting. Thanks, Bishop.